All right, good evening, everyone. Let's begin. So we find ourselves this week in Parshas Vayera. So it's interesting, you know, I've mentioned over the years that the dynamic of the Torah is such that you can study the same stories in the same Parshios year after year, and yet, amazingly enough, you see something different. You see some ideas, some theme, some concept that for some reason you just never paid much attention before, maybe even never saw. So I'll tell you, my struggle since we've begun Bereishis is that I find it hard to get past the opening psukim of any particular parsha without seeing something that's just overwhelming. And what's more overwhelming about it is I ask myself, how did I ever really see this before? So take a look at number one. So the Torah says, by opening of Parshas Bereishis, Vayera Elav Hashem Be'ilonei Mamre. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avram Avinu, and Avram is in Elonei Mamre. V'hu yoshev Pesach ha'ol kechom hayom. And Avram Avinu is sitting at the entranceway of his tent in the heat of the day. V'yisa inav v'yar. He raised his eyes and he saw v'hinei shlosha anoshem nitzavim alav. He saw that there are three people in close proximity to him. V'yar, he saw them. V'yar etzlik rasam. He runs to greet them in Pesach ha'ol from the entranceway of his tent. V'yishtafu artza. And he prostrates himself before them again. Not just going out to greet them, but an incredible display of deference, of respect. Vayomer Adonai, im na matzasi chin be'enach. He says, my masters, if I have not found favor in your eyes, al na ta'avar me'al avdecha, please do not pass me by. And Avraham Avinu invites these three men into his tent. And ultimately, again, we know these three men are no normal three men. They're not regular people, but rather, again, they're malachim, they're angels. Ultimately, each one with their own distinct and separate mission, one to heal Avram Avinu from the Bris Milah, another one to announce the birth of Yitzchak, a third ultimately to save Lot from stone. Okay. But there's an obvious question when we look at the opening psukim. And the truth is, the question is so blatant, it's in the opening phrase of the parsha. Vayera Elav Hashem. God appears to Avram Avinu. What's missing? What's missing? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? See, what's interesting to note is generally when there is revelation, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to someone, revelation is usually followed by conversation. Revelation is usually followed by dialogue. And here, you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing to Avraham Avinu, and amazingly enough, what does God do during the rest of the interaction? Nothing. Absolute silence. So the question I'd like to try to understand this evening is, what is the nature of this divine appearance? What is the nature of this revelation? Why does it say Vayera Elav Hashem if there is no dialogue that follows? Samir, and of course the question we ask every single week, which is after we answer that question, what, if any, take-home message is there for us in this particular story, this particular phrase? So we'll begin with a couple of simple approaches. Take a look at number two. And I try to include over here any small biographies whenever we do with people perhaps who may not be as well known. So number two, we have the Rashbam. The Rashbam is a grandson of Rashi. So the Rashbam writes, he says, Vayera Elav Hashem heich, shebo elav shlosha anoshim shahayu malochim, shebaharbi makomos kishenira hamalach, kora koreu beloshon shchino, kidichsiv, Kishmi b'kirbo. So the Rashbam makes an amazing observation. The Rashbam says, Vayera Elav Hashem is in fact not actually saying that God appeared to Avraham Avinu. Rather, what is it saying? That there was going to be a divine revelation in the form of the angels who came to Avraham Avinu. And the Rashbam points out that we have other examples. Shebahar b'makomos, kishenira hamalach kori b'lashon shechina. There are other examples, we don't have to get into the examples tonight, but there are other examples where an angel is referred to as God. An angel is referred to as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rashbam says something amazing, that Vayera Elav Hashem is not a statement that God is appearing to that God is appearing to Abram. Rather, what does Vayera Elav Hashem mean? It's setting the stage for the rest of the story. There is a revelation. It's not a divine revelation. What type of revelation is it? What type of revelation? An angelic revelation. And so the Torah sets the stage. Vayera Elav Hashem, God is going to appear from Avraham, but it's not really God. It's not really God, but instead, what is it? Vayar, v'hinei shlosha anashim. So according to the Rashbam, therefore, it makes perfect sense why there is no dialogue,
because it's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu appearing to Avraham Avinu for a dialogue, but rather Vayira Alav Hashem means there is a divine manifestation that is about to occur. And what's the divine manifestation? The three men who are ultimately angels. That's the Rashbam. In number three, the Radak takes another interesting approach. Now, I included more information on this sheet than what we actually need for our purposes tonight. But interestingly enough, the Radak in 3 Aleph points out in general, why is there a divine revelation? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now, the Radak disagrees with the Rashbam. And the Radak feels that Vayera Elav Hashem is actually divine. Is actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing to Avraham Avinu. So why is it, again, says the Radak, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is appearing? So he writes, Vayera Elav Hashem Be'ilonei Mamre, B'mokum Shu Shochein Kimo Sha'amar Lamala, Okay, so he points out the idea that Avraham Avinu is living with people who are very kind to him, very good to him. Skip down a couple of lines. V'nigla ilav hakel sham achar shamal lohodia tivar sedom l'fi sha'avram haya gadol sheba olam ba'o sahador v'rotza la'asos mishpat tiktas yishuv min ha'olam v'lo rotza la'asos mibli yidiyasos. Says Radak, what's the point of the revelation? The point of the revelation is because God is about to do some serious destruction in stone. And because Avraham Avinu is the Av Hamon Goyim, he is the father of the multitude of nations, God only feels it's appropriate to what? To speak to Avraham. He doesn't need Avraham's permission, but he feels it's only proper derech eretz that you tell the father of humanity what it is that you're about to do to some significant segment of humanity. And he goes on, Va'ava pi shehu yada zeh misichlo, hodia, see, interestingly enough, God tells Avram, lest Avram think that what happens in this world is haphazard, Avram Avinu should realize everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does follows a divine design, divine plan, and he should be able to relay this to his children. So this is just side information. That the point of the whole revelation, see what's interesting about the Radak is, the fact that the Malachim told Sarah that she's going to have a child, that's not the main part of the story. Why is that not the main part of the story? Why? Because, first of all, Avram was already told about that last week's parsha. Avram was already told that he's going to have a child with Sarah. Okay, so now they have Bishah Tov and Mitzlachas, a little bit more of a defined time. It's going to be a year from Pesach, a year from now, fine. But says Radak, that's not the essence. The essence of the revelation here is because ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels that it's only appropriate for him to share with Avram what he's going to do with stone. Very nice. Now look at base. Look at what Radak says, and this is going to blow your mind. He says, V'tachin lefarish, ki kol sipur hadvarim ha'ila ad v'Avraham shavlit komo, haya b'mara hanivua, v'hakol haya mara achos, v'amar, so Radak says, and I have something to tell you, this story never actually happened. But rather, what is all of this? It's a prophecy. It's a vision. So what is the Torah telling us? That where was Avraham Avinu when he had this vision? So again, Vayira Elav Hashem according to the Radak means what? What does it mean that God appeared to Avram? He gave Avraham a vision. He gave Avraham a vision, like a nevuah. You know, not different forms of vision come in different ways. So according to the Radak over here, this event never happened. Were there any three angels who actually came to Avraham Avinu? According to Radak, no. There were no three men who ever came. There are no malachim who were eating. None of that. Rather, it was all a vision. And the vision, according to the Radak, begins at the beginning of the parasha and extends all the way through the dialogue between God and Avraham about stone. Because remember, not our topic for tonight, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in fact tell Avraham Avinu that he's going to destroy stone, so what happens? Avraham Avinu begins to argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe there's 50 tzaddikim, 40 tzaddikim. So according to the Radak, from the beginning of the parasha, when it says that Avraham Avinu is sitting at the entrance of his tent, that is the last real event. From that point until the end of the dialogue with stone is all a vision. It's quite a dramatic statement. By the way, there's also no tooth fairy. You know, you also feel like, you know, it's one of these things where you read it and it's dramatic. It didn't happen. It was just an event. This whole episode, remember, this episode is so important for us also because this is the first real life example of Hachnasas Archim. The paradigm for hospitality is this particular event of Avraham Avinu. Yet Radak says, okay, it could still be a paradigm for hospitality, but just know it didn't actually occur. It wasn't a vuah. In fact, Radak is not alone. The Ramban in number 4, quotes the Rambam. if you look in 4 Aleph, he writes, Ubisefer Mora Hanabuchim. So the Rambam writes in God of the Perplexed, Ne'emar ki aparsha klalu prat, Amar ha-kosov t'chila, ki nira elav Hashem, b'maros hanavua. The Rambam writes, also like the Radak, that ultimately this was not an actual vision. This is not an actual event, but rather it's a nevuah, it's a prophecy, it's a vision. Amar ha-kosov k'nira elav Hashem, b'maros hanavua, ve'eich haysan maros. And then the Torah goes on to describe the actual vision. So according to the Ramban and the Radak, Vayira Elav Hashem is a statement that a divine vision is about to occur. There's no dialogue, there's no speech. It's setting the table. The events that you're about to read about did not actually occur, but instead it was a vision given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham Avinu. The Ramban, I put it on the sheet, but we're not going to cover it tonight. The Ramban himself vociferously disagrees with the Ramban. Now you have to understand something. This is the Rambam Lashitaso. The Rambam, for example, says that in a couple of weeks when we'll speak about the episode where Yaakov Avinu wrestled with the Malach, with the angel, the Rambam again says that that event did not actually occur, but rather again that was a nevuah, that was a prophecy of Yaakov Avinu. So the Ramban is very bothered by that. He says, how could that be? Yaakov Avinu emerges from that episode limping. So if indeed it was just a dream, if it was, how is he physically damaged as a result? So the Rambam and the Ramban go at it in a number of different places in Bereshis, but the Rambam holds true to his belief that very often when you see this introduction of Vayera Elav Hashem, especially when it is not followed by any divine statement, it's to tell you that the events that are occurring are a prophetic vision and did not actually occur. So these are our first two approaches. Look at approach number three. The Toldos Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Ben Yosef Karo. So Toldos Yitzchak in number 5 says something amazing. He says, so first of all, just understand, according to the first two approaches, so approach number 1 of the Rashbam and approach number 2 of the Radak and the Ramban, so Vayera Elav Hashem is ultimately a foreshadow for the events that are about to occur. So according to the Rashbam, the foreshadow is Hashem here actually doesn't mean God, but instead Hashem here means the Malachim, and therefore God appeared to Avram. How did God appear to Avram? The story of the three men slash angels. According to Radak, Ramban, the whole thing is a vision. How does the Torah convey to us that the event didn't actually occur, but it's just a vision? Vayera Elav Hashem. God appeared to Avram, i.e., HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avram a vision. The Toldos Yitzchak already goes in a different approach. So he says, number 5, Vayera Elav Hashem, Be'ilonei Mamre, Bohu Yosheif Pesach Ha'ol Kechom Ayom. Venerally, Shenira Elav, So Toldos Yitzchak says something amazing. And everybody's bothered by our same basic question, which is, why if God is appearing to Avram Avinu normally, and we would expect what? There would have been a dialogue. So the Toldos Yitzchak says something amazing. He says, let's remember context. Context ultimately is, when is this? Well, actually, let's leave out context for just a moment. He says, venerally, it would appear to me, Shenira Elav Hashem, when does God appear to Avraham Avinu? L'she Yihyeh Dovak Im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This lashon of Vayera, that God appears to Avraham Avinu, is a lashon of Dvekus. Dvekus means what? Connection, cleaving. We spoke about this in the shir this morning a little bit. A sense of almost divine intimacy. He goes on, Shah Dvekus V'Avas Hashem Yisbarach Hu HaTachlis HaYokar She'afshar Min HaAnoshi. What is the pinnacle of human accomplishment? What is the zenith of human accomplishment? Spiritual intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like what David HaMelech says, Acha sha'alti me'ez Hashem osa avakesh. One request I have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is that one request? Shifti b'veis Hashem. What does that mean? Dwell in the house of God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want to be platonic friends. I don't, I'm ready to commit. I love you. I'm passionate about you. I want to be with you. I don't want to be with anybody else. That's what it means, that sense of intimacy. So says the Toldos Yitzchak something amazing. He says the pinnacle of human accomplishment is when a person is able to establish a passionate and intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hu ha'usher ha'amiti. And this is the true treasure in life. V'utachlis ha'torah v'amitzos. And this is the reason when we learn Torah, we do mitzos, that's not an ends. It's a means to establish relationship. V'imkein, ein sorich levakesh tachlis l'mashu ha'tachlis ha'acharon. V'hatov Asher hakol yachsefu, va'kavana shelischus mila nidbak Hashem yisbarach, va'avram im Hashem yisbarach. So the Toldos says something amazing. says, what is Vayera Elav Hashem? Vayera says, Tol Yitzchak means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is connecting with Avram Avinu. That it's a new stage in the relationship. Up until now, God and Avram, of course, have been exceptionally tight, but something has happened. And the relationship is even more dramatically close. The relationship is even more passionate. The relationship is even more intimate. What happened? What happened? So it's all, what happened? What do we have last week's parasha? Bris Mila. Avram Avinu, again, remember, Avram Avinu has been Moser Nefesh. Avram Avinu has certainly given up himself for God. But the truth is, the fact that he circumcised himself is incredible Moser Nefesh, is incredible self-sacrifice. Well, what happens after Avram Avinu engages in... Yes, sorry, here. What happens after Avram Avinu goes ahead and... This is the parashah of Achnasa, sorry. We got to make room. Right? So what happens after Avram Avinu engages in this incredible Mesiras Nefesh? So now there is a new stage of intimacy between Avram and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Tovos Yitzchak. Where is that intimacy shown in the text? Vayera Elav Hashem. You know, it's a beautiful image. Sometimes, when you're with someone you love, what's the one thing you don't need to do? You don't need to talk. When you're in the presence of someone who you truly love, just being in their company, being in their presence, is enough. I don't need to talk. We don't need to exchange ideas. I don't have to tell you. I don't have to say anything. It just gives me the greatest life happiness just to be in your presence. Shezer told us so beautifully. That's what's happening over here. Avram and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiryachol are in love. And so what happens? Vayira Elav Hashem. God appears to him. And what does God say to him? What? Absolutely nothing. Lahavdil, they gazed into each other's eyes. Whatever you do when you're in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they just sat there with each other and enjoyed each other's company. The Aruch Haim HaKadosh says a very similar idea. He says, V'nira, ki kavanos ha-kosofu, sheba lo-hodia, shehishra Hashem shchinoso alov, v'na'ase merkava l'shchina. After the Bris Mila, there's been a cathartic change in Avraham Avinu. He was always God's man. He was always the father of a multitude of nations. But now, he's become, says Aruch Haim, the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is in the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the chariot is that which supports the rider. The way that the rider gets, I don't know if that's the right term, but the rider, the person who rides in the chariot, the way he gets from point A to point B is through his chariot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu now realizes that Avram truly is the one who is going to bring him into every corner of civilization. Same basic ideas of Tovos Yitzchak. And because of that, to show that, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Vayera Elav Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to rest his Shechina even more on Avram Avinu. So according to the Tovos Yitzchak and the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, Vayera Elav, there's no dialogue, and that's exactly the point. Because there's a new level of relationship where speech is not even necessary. Where two entities, Avram Avinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are so intertwined that they just simply want to dwell within each other's presence. Rav Hirsch in number 7, I normally quote the Hebrew, the English Rav Hirsch, here I'm quoting to you from the Hebrew version, but same Rav Hirsch. So Rav Shlomo Shlomo Hirsch writes the following, such a beautiful insight. He says, Vayir Elav Hashem, God appeared to Avram. Rav Hirsch writes, Ein makom panoi mishchina. In reality, we know that there is no part of the world that is absent of God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. So look what Rav Hirsch writes, and this is so profound. Ach lo kol adam zocha lirosa. The Shechina is everywhere, but not everyone is able to see it. It's almost like if you need glasses and you're not wearing the right prescription, you can't see what's in front of you, even though it's objectively there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, but not everyone is able to see the Shechina. Rak mi shemassar es nafsho l'Hashem. How are you able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ultimately, mesiras nefesh. Now again, we could give a whole shiur on this, right? For tonight, we'll just say his words. Mesiras nefesh, self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice. Kederech she'avram asa zos ze'ata zocha liros es panei Hashem. So Rav Shlomo Shlomo Hirsch says something absolutely amazing. He says, what is Vayera Elav Hashem? God appeared to him. So if Hirsch says, and this is kind of in line also with the Tovos Yitzchak and Aruch Haim, so normally we understand, what does it mean that God appeared to him? What does that mean? The connotation of that is, God was not here a minute ago, And now Kadosh Baruch Hu has entered the building. God has entered the building and God is now here. God appears to him. Rav Hirsch says that's not what it means. Kadosh Baruch Hu is always present. What does Vayera Elav Hashem mean? That Avram Avinu was able to see the Shekhinah. Why was he able to see the Shekhinah now and not last week's parasha? Because Avram Avinu has just engaged in an incredible act of Mesiras Nefesh, of self-sacrifice, of circumcision at the age of 99. And when you are Moser Nefesh, when you are willing to sacrifice for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, suddenly you see the world and you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a dramatically different way. So the common denominator between the Toldos Yitzchak, the Arachaim and Hashem Shnafal Hirsch, is this idea that Vayira Elav Hashem represents a shift in relationship. Avram was always close to God, but there is a fundamental change in the relationship. According to Toldos Yitzchak in Arachaim, the change that's being represented over here is a change from God to Avraham. Then until this point in time when there was revelation, revelation was always followed by dialogue, but here there's such a sense of intimacy because Avraham is now the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what? There's revelation even without speech. And amazingly enough, Toldos Yitzchak will say, revelation without dialogue is even a higher level than revelation with dialogue. Because revelation with dialogue is what we'll call utilitarian revelation. Why is God appearing to the individual? Because he needs him or her to do something. When there is revelation with no dialogue, then what is the point of that revelation? Pure, unadulterated love. I just want to be in your presence. And according to the Toldos Yitzchak in Arachaim, this is God desiring to be in Avram's presence. Again, what's changed now? The Mesiras Nefesh, the self-sacrifice of Avram Avinu. The Rav Shamshel Hirsch seizes the same idea, but instead of looking at it from God to Avram, looks at it from Avram to God. Vayera Lav Hashem. Did God actually do anything? Says Rav Hirsch, no. Same God, same revelation. What was the difference? Avram Avinu has a new prescription. And now Avram Avinu is able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu anywhere and everywhere. He was not able to do that before. So what's changed? What's changed is his Mesiras Nefesh. What's changed is his incredible self-sacrifice that gives you a new prescription in life and allows you a closeness to God that you did not experience before. And I think what comes out, this is not our final approach, but what comes out of this is also just an incredible idea. You know, Rabbi Franz spoke about this idea by the Tshuva Drasha, this idea of sacrifice. It's such a bad word in our lexicon because the truth is we live in an age where the goal is not to sacrifice, the goal is to have everything. But the truth is we know, if there's something our people know, is that the only way to reach, we spoke about it this morning also at the Tehillim Shir, that all of us have our mountains to climb, and the only way to climb that is to detach yourself from certain things. You have to lighten the load. You have to sacrifice things in life if you want to get ahead. When a person tries to hold on to everything, they end up getting nowhere. And what comes out from these approaches is, even in Avram Avinu, as great as he was, you think to yourself, what could be greater than Lech Lecha? Right? What can be greater? He was thrown, according to the Medrash, into the Kibshan Aish, the fiery furnace by Nimrod. But yet, amazingly enough, he had to do some dramatic act of self-sacrifice. He had to quite literally give God a piece of himself, literally his flesh. And that was the act of self-sacrifice that created an intimate, loving relationship and that allowed him to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the lesson, of course, is it's overwhelming. So that true relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu only comes from sacrifice. But the truth is, it's not so overwhelming because it's true in any relationship, right? What happens if a person gets married and a person says, you know what, I want to remain the same person I was when I was single. I don't want to change. I want to be the same person. What happens? We know what happens. It doesn't work. When you enter into a relationship, you have to sacrifice pieces of yourself. And if you don't give up pieces of yourself, if you're going to hold on to everything that's you, I don't want to change, you can never interact with another. And the truth is, what the Toldos Yitzchak, Arachaim, Rosh Hashanah, it's no different with God. You want passion without HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I have to figure out what I'm willing to give up, what I'm willing to change in order to be able to have that relationship. Brings us now to our fourth approach. And perhaps the fourth approach is the most well-known approach. So Rashi HaKodesh comments in number 8. Vayera Elav. Why is God appearing to Avraham Avinu? Levaker Esachole. Right? To visit the sick. Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina Yom Shlishi Lemilasa Haya. it was Avraham Avinu's third day after the circumcision, and we know again, we actually know, interestingly enough, from later on, we know from the story of Shimon and Levi, when they tricked the men of Shechem into circumcising themselves, that when do they go out and wipe out the city? On the third day, it's the most painful day, apparently, after the Bris Milah. It was the third day. And what happens? God comes along and God asks Avraham, how are you doing? He asks Avraham Avinu, ultimately, he comes to make a refuah, a bigger cholam. Take a look at 9. So Rashi is basing this on the Medrash. And this is really a very beautiful Medrash. The Medrash writes, Vayera elav Hashem, atamotzi batorah, tchilasa chesed, ve'emtsa'isa chesed, v'sofa chesed. The Torah has chesed in the beginning, chesed in the middle, and chesed at the end. Tchilasa chesed, this is so beautiful. Sheki sheita kadosh baruch hu eschava, v'heviya el ha'adam. You know, if you imagine this image, Chava did not have parents to walk her to the chuppah, kiviyachol. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Literally, the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu braided her hair and brought her to Adam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Chava look beautiful before he introduced her to her husband. And that's the first act of chesed. Shene emar, v'ayivan Hashem elokim asatel. Okay, so the first act of chesed. So amazingly enough, the first act of chesed was not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man. The first act of chesed is once we were created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of this young woman as who was just created herself, and acted towards her in a paternal fashion and helped her start her new relationship with Adam HaRishon. What's the second act of chesed? The last act of chesed. What's the last act of chesed in the Torah? That who buried Moshe Rabbeinu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Torah begins with chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu braids Chava's hair, such a beautiful image. And the last act of chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and buries Moshe Rabbeinu. And what's the middle act of chesed? Now, middle here doesn't literally mean middle. What middle mean here? It means not beginning and not end. So he says, "Bem tzaisa chesed biker asachola." He did biker cholim. He visited the sick. Shne emar vayira elav Hashem lefi sheAvram hayachola min amila lochach nira elav hakadosh baruch hu. So therefore, the Medrash says again. So therefore, what the Torah is coming to teach us over here, according to the Medrash, and Rashi is quoting this Medrash. And by the way, there are different versions of this Medrash because there are some other examples of chesed that the Medrash points out, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Adam and Chava clothing after they sinned. Some also view as an act of chesed. So the point, the Medrash is making a point that you will find a thematic thread of chesed throughout the entire Torah, beginning and end, as well as middle, you have chesed. So Rashi quotes this Medrash, Vayira alav Hashem, God is appearing to Avraham Avinu to be mevaker chol, to visit the sick. Number 10, another medrash, Bishil Shemal Avram v'nitzta'er, Nigra elav HaKadosh Baruch Hu levakro. So interestingly enough, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the medrash Seichel Tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Avraham Avinu was in such pain, was in such incredible pain, and that's why he came to be mevaker chol. Number 11, the Chizkuni, Vayira, Amra Bichar Bachanina, Yom Shlishi, so same idea as we saw before. Take a look at the second line, and he says, "Dilok siv basrei amira odibor v'hachalok siv umipnei man Yisrael imlo levakro." So the Chizkuni, by the way, addresses our question directly. He says, and the proof that this was a Bikur Cholim visit was what? There's no dialogue. There's no dialogue. So if God is not speaking to Avraham Avinu, then why else is he showing up on the third day after the Milah? There's only one possibility, and that is Bikur Cholim. He's coming to visit the sick. And if you look at number 12, the Gemara says so beautifully, what is the meaning of the pasuk? What does it mean when the pasuk says that you should walk after HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is it possible for a person to follow in the path and the footsteps of God? The Torah also says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an all-consuming fire. So how can I follow in the footsteps of a God who is an all-consuming fire? He says, "Ela lahalich achra midos of shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Rather, what does it mean to walk in the ways of God? It means to emulate the attributes of God. So what are the attributes of God? Mahu malbish arunim. God clothes the naked, as he did ultimately for Adam and Chava after their sin. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu clothes the naked, so too you should also do that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu biker cholim. God visited the sick. Vayera elav Hashem be'elonei mamre. God visited the sick, so to what? I have to visit the sick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nichim Aveil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comforts mourners. V'chsev Vayachari Mos Avraham Vayivarach Elokim Es Yitzchak Bino. God comforted Yitzchak after the death of Avraham Avinu. Af Ator Nachim Aveilim, I also have to be Nachim Aveil, comfort mourners. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cover Mesim. God buries the dead, as it says by Moshe Rabbeinu. Af Ator cover Mesim. So according to this entire approach of Rashi, the Midrashim, the Chizkunin, the Gemara, what is the impact of this episode? Why is this here? What is it teaching us? It's behavioral modeling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like any, how does a parent teach a child what to do? Right? Remember, the greatest disconnect in parenting is when parents tell their children one thing, but their behavior shows something else. The best way to teach children, teach students, is behavioral modeling. You have to set the example through your own behavior. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be Ba'alei Chesed, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to take care of each other, then what is the best way to show that, to demonstrate that lesson? How? Do it yourself. So no matter how busy you think you may be, chances are HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a wee bit busier. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu could take the time to do Bikur Cholim, Nichum Aveilim, and Kvuras Mesim, then ultimately what that shows me, the reader, is that these are priorities, and I have to make time to do this as well. So according to this approach, what comes out from here is an incredible lesson in Chesed. Torah is teaching us the need and the importance of Ba'alei Chesed, and it's not using for us a human role model, because remember, again, the ideas of Avraham Avinu being a great Baal Chesed come later on in the text. That's the Eshel. We'll see that later on. The point is, the first real instance of Chesed, the first example, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing us what we need to do for each other. Now, what's interesting about this, if you look at number 13, to take this a little bit further, the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, makes an amazing observation. So the Rosh is most well known for his commentary on Talmud, for his commentary on the Gemara. The Rosh was one of the early halachic codifiers, but the Rosh also wrote a commentary on the Torah. And the Rosh says the following, this is amazing. So he quotes over here the whole basic idea, that it was the third day after the Bris Milah. The third day after the Bris Milah, Avraham Avinu was in a lot of pain. And if you skip down to the second line, he says, Perush leperusho miloshon vayera, muchach shelo ba ela levakro, midelok siv acharav lo amira velo dibor. So ultimately, again, what we said before, God is obviously coming for Bikur Cholim. Why? Because there's no dialogue, there's no speech. But look what the Rosh says, and this is something amazing. Ubo lelamed derech eretz. So remember, according to sources 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, the entire take-home message of this story is that ultimately, you have to do chesed. You have to do chesed. Why do I have to do chesed? Because God does chesed. The job of a Jew is to engage in a lifetime of divine emulation. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does chesed, I have to do chesed. But the Rosh takes this a step further, and this is so profound. The Rosh is also teaching us how to do chesed. Not just you have to do chesed, but how should I do chesed? A person has to visit the sick. Va'afilu lo yedaber imo dover. And even if what? And even when if I go to visit, I don't say a word to the person who's ill. Kigon, shematzo yoshe. For example, I went to visit a person. But I said, obviously, you know, if you go to visit someone and they're sleeping and they're ill, you don't say, come on, I'm here to do a mitzvah. You know, manage. Like, I'm here to do it. So you let the person sleep. So the Rosh says, v'nechalo, listen to how profound this is. But you ask yourself, but okay, Reuven was sick. I went to visit him. He was sleeping. Now what's going to happen? I accomplished nothing. Says Rosh, it's not true. Kasher yagidu lo achole, lechole, ki ba ploni liroso, ose lo nachas ruach. The Rosh says something so profound. When Reuven, who's ill, wakes up and he hears that Shmuel Silber was here to visit you, that will give him nachas ruach. Nachas ruach means literally what? I don't know if it's ease of spirit, inner quietude. Inner quietude. So what is the Rosh saying? Do you know what the most important aspect of chesed is? You know, think about it. When you do something for someone else, you help, person is in a difficult, you make them a meal. Do they need your food? They don't need your food. What do they need? When you do chesed, what do they need? What they need is your companionship. What a person who's in a difficult situation needs to know most is that what? Someone else is here for me. Someone else is here for me. That ultimately, I'm not alone. And says the Rosh something so profoundly nuanced. So yes, We learn, as we saw in Rashi, the Medrash, the Chizkuni, the Gemara, that the take-home message here is to do chesed. But the Rosh says it's not just to do chesed, it's how you do chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to be mevaker chola. He came to go ahead and pay a visit because Avraham Avinu was ill, was not feeling well. And what pearls of wisdom did God share to Avraham Avinu to make him feel better?
Nothing.
So what did God do? What did God accomplish? His presence. His presence. Avraham Avinu says, I feel so terrible. And you know, when you're in physical pain, it's not just the pshat that you're in pain. Very often physical pain colors how you feel and you see everything. And yet Avraham Avinu felt a sense of contentment. Simply why? That the Ribono Shel Olam was sitting by his side. And interestingly enough, this concept that the Rosh says translates into a halachic norm. When a person goes to be Menachem Aval, you know, there's an etiquette. There's an etiquette for Nichum Avelim. And the etiquette for Nichum Avelim is the Avel has a very simple job. What's the job of the Avel? Let's start what it's not. Your job is not to make the Avel, excuse me, not the Avel, the job of the visitor is not to make the Avel feel better. That's not the job to make the mourner feel better, because the truth is, you're not going to make the mourner feel better. Because when a person suffers loss, and it doesn't matter if a person lost a parent who's 98 years old, or a person has what we term a more tragic loss, loss is hurtful, loss is profound, loss is a gaping hole in the soul of the person who just endured loss. And chances are, nothing you're going to say, no anecdote, no I know how you feel, no I've been there myself, it's going to get better, none of that stuff is helpful. In fact, very often it's actually counterproductive. So what's the job of the menachim? What's the job of the consoles? What does the halacha say? You go and you sit. And if the avel wants, if the mourner wants to speak with me, so the mourner will open a dialogue. And if the mourner doesn't want to speak with me, the halacha recognizes that just the person who's in pain seeing that I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I came, I took time, and I'm just, if you want to just sit and look at each other, we're just going to sit and look at each other. You want to talk? I'm going to talk. You want to talk? Whatever you want to do, I'm here for you. This is the concept in Nichum Avelim. This is the concept in Biker Cholim. And where does this come from? Amazing. The Rosh says, it comes from Vayera Elav Hashem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we could imagine, could come up with some pretty good things to say. He's got a couple of good vartlach up his sleeve, right? But yet what? What does he do? I'm here. You want to speak to me? No problem. But you know what? I'm just here to let you know that you're not alone. So again, according to this fifth approach, what comes out from this lesson is, number one, Torah is teaching us about Biker Cholim, the need to be Ba'alei Chesed. And we learn that obligation from none other than the Ribono Shel Olam himself. But more importantly, it's not just enough to do Chesed, but we have to do Chesed in the correct way. And the correct way is knowing that my job is just to be there for another. Which now leads us to our last approach. So what comes out from this last approach is also quite profound. So take a look at number 14. So our fifth approach for the evening. So Rashi brings down, we're going to take a little bit of a detour for just a moment. So Rashi brings down that where does God appear to Avraham Avinu? Be'elonei Mamre. He appears to Be'elonei Mamre. Now, why is Avraham Elonei Mamre? Why is he there? So Rashi writes, Hu shenason lo etza al hamila. Now, these words are quite interesting. Literally, what does it mean? That Mamre counseled Avram about the Mila. You know, it doesn't say that Mamre also had a bris Mila. You know, it's always easy to dispense advice. Hey, here, I'm going to give you advice about the Mila. Lefichach nigla alav b'chalko. Therefore, because Mamre, because Mamre was helpful to Avram and with the advice that he gave him about the bris Mila, therefore Mamre was privileged to have divine revelation. Not to Mamre himself, it was a divine revelation to Avram, but revelation took place in Mamre's home. And that was a privilege to Avram Avinu. So in number 15 and 16, as we'll see, the Mefarshim ask a basic question. Take a look. This is the Das Ekenemi Ba'alei Tosfos. So we know the Tosafis. So we know we're familiar with Tosfos as a commentary on the side of the Gemara. Tosafis also wrote the commentary on the Chumash. So the Ba'alei Tosfos write the following. Vayirav Be'elonei Mamre. So he says, look at the middle of the first line. V'tema v'chi adam chashuv v'tzadik kavram v'nisnase be'eser nisyonos v'amad bekulan v'lo sha'al itza. Eich sha'o itza al hamila. Shetzivah Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Dasakim and the Tosafis are over, they don't know what's going on over here. Avraham Avinu. You know, when God told you left, what did you ask advice? At every stage, when God asked you to sacrifice Yitzchak at the end of the Yitzchak, did you ask advice? Avraham Avinu is a good soldier. God tells him what to do, and Avraham Avinu does it and does not question. Says the Dasakim. So what's happening over here? By Bris Mila, Avraham is questioning. Is he doubting? Does he not have the resolve? Does he not have the answers himself? Why is he questioning? Why does he need Eitzah over here? Why does he need advice over here? And yet he didn't need Eitzah advice in the other places. So the Das Akinim gives a couple of very interesting answers. He says, V'yesh lomar, chas v'shalom, sheyishal Eitzah im yamol. No, no, no. Adam Avinu wasn't asking Mamre whether or not he should actually do the circumcision. That was clear. God told him to do it. He's going to do it. Rather, he was asking Mamre logistical questions. Should we make this a public thing or should we do it privately? Should I go ahead? What should I do with, let's say, if I have family members or members of my household who don't want to do the milah? What's the best way to convince? According to Asakim, that's the Eitzah. Avraham Avinu is resolute. God asked him to do it. Of course he's going to do it. But Mamre, perhaps you can help me with some of the other logistical issues. Along those same lines, in number 16, Das Naiman Torah of Suratsky, Natal Shirah Sheshiva writes the following. He writes something amazing. And again, I put these whole sources on here, but we're not going to do all of them. They're just here. You could look at them at the Shabbos table. So the Das Naiman Torah is something amazing. He says, if we go back a little bit, we know that Avraham Avinu had a pretty well-equipped and successful fighting force. Right? Because after Lot is taken captive, so does Naiman Torah says, Bayarkas Chanichav, he went ahead and he took his soldiers. So the Medrash says he had 318 soldiers. But they were a vicious fighting force. They defeated the four kings. So amazing, according to Naiman Torah, Avraham Avinu, when he was going to circumcise himself, guess who else was getting circumcised along with Avraham Avinu? His army. Now what happens if the army gets circumcised, says Naiman Torah? What's going to happen? They're not exactly going to be able to fight for a couple of days. Now understand what that does is, that creates a certain breach in security. If your fighting force is out of commission for a couple of days until they recover, that puts not just Avram at risk, but what? It also puts Mamre at risk. So according to Naiman Torah, Avram Avinu was going to do the Bris Milah no matter what Mamre said. But he felt it was only Bakovedik, it was only appropriate to speak this out with Mamre. Mamre, I just want to make sure you understand, you know, yes, it's going to technically put us at risk, but I have absolute belief that if I follow the command of God, nothing is going to happen to us. So in fact, if you take a look at paragraph C in number 16, the Naiman Torah writes, he says, "Aval humuchan lamul esatzmo ubnei beis mikomakom afilu im nisyag if nisnat if nisnagdu laze aner eshkol mamrei shem mitzvas azem es Hashem yisbarach bim anshe briso in maskim liado." So Avraham Avinu was ready to go through with this no matter what. But Avraham Avinu, remember, according to Sefer Bereishis, is also the Sefer that teaches about interpersonal conduct. So sometimes in life, I have to do something. But that which I'm going to do is going to potentially negatively, adversely affect another individual. So what does proper derech eretz dictate? Proper derech eretz is you have to speak it out with the person who is potentially going to be adversely affected by your decisions. Now, you may have to do what you need to do regardless, but at least be a mensch about it and speak it out with the other interested party. So again, so Rashi tells us that Avraham Avinu got Eitzah, got advice from Mamre. Das Akinim says not advice about to do the milah or not to do the milah, but logistical advice. Should we go into this publicly, privately? Who should go first? How should I deal with reticent family members? Aznayim LaTorah, there is a logistical security breach. If I'm gonna circumcise the army, it puts everyone at risk. Mamre, I just want to share this with you. I want to reassure you and just make sure you're okay with this. Now, granted, even if you're not okay with it, I'm doing it anyway, but I want to give you the derech eretz of speaking this out to you. And now we come to number 17. And Rav Kook here says something absolutely amazing. I think it's groundbreaking. Groundbreaking. So Rav Kook writes in Midbar Shor. Midbar Shor is a collection of essays on the Parsha written by Rav Kook. This is Rav Avram Yitzchak. Last week we quoted the Sun. This is Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook. Last week we quoted Rav Tzvi Yehuda, Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook's son. Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook was the first chief rabbi of Israel. First he was chief rabbi in Yafo and Jaffa, then he became chief rabbi of Israel. This, of course, is all pre-state of Israel. It's still under the British mandate. So if we're going to follow, bless you. See, he says, Vayira of Hashem Elonim Amrei. Listen to this. Avraham, are you ready? This is, I feel like if you have a heart condition or something, you should just be warned. Because this is life-altering. Avraham, me'ez shena'asa avli Yitzchok, shu'as cholos shoroshen shal Yisrael, mini az nifrad me'amona aret ayde mila. So there's a very interesting shift that occurs. Avraham Avinu was told last week's parasha that he's going to go ahead and be the father of Yitzchak Avinu. And interestingly enough, God gives Avraham Avinu a message that Avraham Avinu only understands later. Ki bi Yitzchak yikare lecha zara. Now, ki bi Yitzchak yikare lecha zara doesn't just mean that Yitzchak is going to be your son, but rather it means the sum total of your life work is going to come through Yitzchak. So what does that mean? So Rav Kook writes, Kinir ki midibrei chazal, Shamol la kodesh baruch hu. Listen to this. It's amazing medrash. That Avraham Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kishetziva al Amila. So God appears to Avraham, last week's parasha, Avraham yakdu bris mila. Avraham says to God, listen, God, I have no problem doing whatever you want. But ad achshav, hayu b'nei adam bo'im elai. Until now, Avraham Avinu says, what's Avraham Avinu's greatest strength? What's his greatest strength? His greatest strength? His personality. The Abrahamic personality was a magnet. People flocked to Avraham Avinu, whatever it was, whether it's that he just gave off this positive vibe, an optimistic vibe, just he emoted just pure holy goodness, whatever it was, people were drawn to Avraham Avinu. And that's why he was successful. So Avraham Avinu was concerned that what's going to happen? Avraham Avinu is concerned. What is he concerned about? When word get about this bris mila gets out, what's going to happen? People are not going to come to me anymore. Why not? Well, for very good reason. Because what's going to happen? People are going to assume that what is Avraham going to try to get them to do? Bris mila. And the truth is, listen, Avraham, I'm happy to speak theology. I'm happy to speak monotheism. I'm happy to share a meal. I'm not happy for circumcision. So Avraham Avinu was concerned that this bris mila is going to handicap his ability for outreach. Because the truth is, you have to understand something also. You see, we don't understand the true impact of that. Can you imagine when people first heard of this? They must have thought that Avraham Avinu was out of his mind. What? You're going to do what? You're going to do what? And you're going to do it to your children. You're going to do it to the members of your household. And this is your covenant with God? Can't you bring him an animal? You know, can't you go? This is what you have to do. So Avraham Avinu realizes they're going to think he's absolutely bonkers. They're going to think he's crazy. They're going to think, and also again, remember, there were sects that engaged in self-mutilation for the sake of the service of God. So it's easy to think that this is another form of self-mutilation. So people are going to hear this, and what's going to happen? They're going to totally speak from Avraham. So what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu say? God responds to Avraham, Ad achshav b'nei adam areilim bo'im elecha. Until now, areilim, uncircumcised people were coming to you. Achshav ani v'kol pamal yoshali bo'im elecha. But now, Avraham, you're right. There might be a little less pedestrian traffic through your tent, but guess what? I and Pamalia means the entire heavenly host, are going to come down to you. So says Rav Kook, what's happening in this medrash? Venira, in paragraph B, Shezu haisa ikar kavanas Avraham Avinu alav ha-shalom, b'mashe sha'al eitza al ha-mila. So says Rav Kook, what does it mean when Avraham Avinu asked eitza, when he asked advice from Mamre about the mila, k'divrei chazal, mipnei ma nigla b'chalko shal Mamre me'shanasson lo eitza al ha-mila, asher yipali me'od, eich arosh shal ma'aminim, alav ha-shalom, sheyishal eitza yimali d'var Hashem yisparach, Rav Kook asked him a question. Everybody asked, what do you mean that Avraham is asking Eitza, that he's asking advice from Mamre? What advice do you need? God told you to do the bris mila. Do the bris mila. What help? What advice? What guidance do you need? And Rav Kook says something amazing. The li yira, it would appear to me, paragraph C. Sheitachin hadavar shenesyare pen ayyidei hamila lo yiyu b'nei adam mitzuyin etzlo. Ba'asher yira'uhu nifrad mehem ba'os mitzuyon b'gufo. Gam yiyu yireyim lekabel hadrachasel kevan she'efshel la'atil aleya mitzvah chamura kizu. V'chashvu sh'ulai gam yechayv gam osam bazeh Al King Yibad Lumimeno. So what happens? Avraham Avinu has a significant concern. My whole gestalt, my whole approach is outreach. And outreach requires what? What does it require? Well, good. Definitely requires people. But the key to successful outreach is being able to relate to people where they are. Right? Meaning, if I am in my ivory tower spirituality, then there's no way I can relate to anyone. The whole idea is, the way to inspire people is by making religion and making God real. Look at me. I'm normal. I don't mean literally look at me. I'm normal. I'm regular. I understand which life I'm with it. I'm in the world. And oh yeah, and I have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's so fulfilling. A person says, wow, that guy's pretty normal. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, religion, God plays such a pivotal role in his life. Maybe there is something in that for me. So Avraham Avinu says, I cornered the market on this, Avraham Avinu says. I was the guy, I knew, I understand that because I came from a pagan civilization. I grew up in a pagan household. I understand the cultures. I understand the struggles. And now what's going to happen? How is everybody going to know me? Oh, that's the Bris Mila guy. And what's going to happen with the Bris Mila guy? People are going to be scared off. Why? Because there's going to be a concern that if they get too close, they're going to think I'm going to try to impose this upon them as well. And that's going to scare everybody off. So Avraham Avinu has a struggle. Listen to this. So understand, my friends, the struggle that Rav Kook is describing. So Rav Kook now understands that essentially, if he listens to the command of God, this quite possibly could bring an abrupt end to all of his work. He may have to close down the entire monotheistic initiative for one simple reason. People are going to write him off as a crazy man. At the age of 99, he's doing this to himself. He's doing this to his household. They're going to write him off, and he will no longer be able to influence anyone. Paragraph E. He said, or actually paragraph D. V'zhaisa zos atzaso. Listen to what Rav Kook says. You know what's going through Avraham Avinu's mind? Avraham Avinu thought the following. Ki ulai ra'ui lo afilu la'avor al pi Hashem chas v'chalila. V'yihi ezech yisor lo v'chuko. Aval yamshich ma'ale l'chol ha'olam kulo ma sheyechzar lo bazeh. So says Rav Kook something absolutely amazing. That Avraham Avinu is actually contemplating what? Not doing the Bris Mila. I told you, it's earth-shattering. According to Rav Kook, Avraham Avinu was actually contemplating not listening to the word of God. But what's the irony? Why is he contemplating not listening to the word of God? In order that he could better fulfill the word of God. Avraham Avinu was faced with a choice. I could fulfill this particular command and raise myself up, but totally undermine any ability I have to connect to others for the foreseeable future, or I could be in violation of this one commandment, but hopefully what? Make it up with all of the good that I could do by spreading the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all corners of civilization. So according to Rav Kook, Avraham Avinu, and you understand the nature of this struggle, Avraham Avinu has to struggle between negating, and ultimately stopping his life work or listening to God. What should I do? And Avraham Avinu actually contemplates not listening to God in order that he could continue to do God's work. It sounds like a very strange cheshbon, but it's not so strange when you think about it. I won't do this. And by the way, it's no different. Sometimes in order to reach people, you do have to make certain Judaic compromises. You do have to compromise certain things if you want to meet people where they are. So Avraham Avinu says, you know what? Maybe it's actually better for me, no Mila, but better work on behalf of God, rather than Mila, which is good for me, but bring everything else to a halt. And what happens? The Haisa Itas Mamre. So amazing, says Rav Kook. So who spoke Avraham Avinu into doing the Bris Mila? Mamre. So what did Mamre tell him? She'in l'schakein al devar Hashem Yisbarach. Don't try to be smarter than God. Don't try to be smarter than God. Ki atzas Hashem v'chachmasu God l'ma'od midarach ha'sechel ha'anoshi. So what happens? Because God is much smarter than anything we could come up with. Al kin hayoscharo shahaisa hashras hanavu alav bechalko mita kineged mita. Now we understand why there is a divine revelation in the home of Mamre, because it was Mamre who actually spoke Avraham, who convinced Avraham Avinu to go through with the Bris Mila. See, what's amazing about this is the Das Kanim, Aznav Torah. They take it for granted. There's no way Avraham Avinu could have ever had doubts about this commandment. Rav Kook says, why not? Avraham Avinu isn't a god. Avraham Avinu is a human being. And human beings have doubts, especially when you're being asked to do something that will fundamentally negate and undermine and bring to a screeching halt all of your life work. Avraham Avinu is not sure what to do. Mamre says, Avram, don't be smarter than God. God told you to do it. So skip down a little bit. He goes on. He says, I feel a bit darn ugly. Two lines before paragraph. And Mamre understood something that Avraham Avinu didn't initially understand, which is, you don't have to understand God in order to listen to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he gives me my marching orders, I go. Paragraph F. Listen to this. Amnam nisrachaku b'nei Adam me'Avram mine az shenitzbarach b'Yitzchak v'hai sa'ara me'Hashem yisbarach elav sheyosim me'ata kol ma'anyov l'chinuch Yitzchak. So if Cook says, you want to say something amazing? People did distance themselves from Avram. Amazing, Rav Kook actually suggests that when Avraham Avinu does his bris milah, pretty much that is the end of his outreach. Avraham Avinu's success with people was pre-bris milah. But once there's bris milah, and especially it's reinforced after he circumcises an eight-day-old baby. You know, one thing, an adult has free choice, but to go ahead and do it to an eight-day-old baby, people mamash thought he was crazy. So Rav Kook says something absolutely amazing. Rav Kook says it was by design. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to alienate Avraham Avinu from the people around him. Why? Avraham Avinu, up until now, your life has been about cultivating others. But if there is going to be a future for the Abrahamic dynasty, if there's going to one day be something called Klal Yisrael, guess what? You have to focus every bit of energy you have into who? Into Yitzchak. Ki bi Yitzchak! Yikari l'chazara. It's very nice that you mean Makariv the world. By the way, what happened to all the people that Avraham Avinu was Makariv? What happened to all of them? The Shabbaton finished, right? The inspiration dissipated, and everybody went home and resumed their lives. Rav Soloveitchik writes about, we actually studied this a couple of years ago. Torah says, Ve'ez ha'nefesh ha'asu b'charan. Avraham Avinu came to Canaan with all of the souls, and the Medrash writes that there were thousands upon thousands of people that followed Avraham Avinu to Canaan. Says, where do they go? So what happens? They get to Canaan, and suddenly again, you know, I'm not feeling it anymore. I don't feel so inspired anymore, right? So the food wasn't so good, whatever it was, but something happened. You know what? This is not so exciting anymore. Now it's kind of a little bit dull. You know, it's kind of regular. There's no excitement in it anymore. Everybody goes home. So it's broke stuff from Avinu. It's very nice. Yes, don't stop. The truth is, we reach out to others, not because we have any hopes of what they are going to accomplish. We reach out to others because that's our obligation. Because V'yahatricha Kamocha says, if I have something that I know is special, I have to share it with you. Whatever you're going to choose to do with it, that's your decision. But I have to share it with you. And I can roast that. I'm wonderful. You've done that in the whole chapter of your life. But guess what? That chapter is over. You now have to go ahead and solely and fully focus your efforts on your child. Ki bi Yitzchak yikare l'chazara. Your future is not in any of those Hebrew Yimei Makariv. Your future is in one person and one person only. And that is the son that you had with Sarah Yimei. He goes on. He says, skip down a little bit. Kol Yom Chinuch, ki mimenu pinah v'yosei l'tikun ha'olam v'shech lulo, ki tzorech l'hashrish mikodem, kidusha siso mitzad atzman, achar kach teitze mehem ora v'orola. Fine. So what's amazing over here is something, so this is dramatic on many different levels. So first of all, it's dramatic because I have to thank all of you, because if it wasn't for you that we had this year, I would have never seen this book. So I owe you all an incredible card for hope. And it's a dramatically new understanding. Dramatically, Avraham Avinu struggles. But what I want to point out to you is something really profound. Why does Avraham Avinu struggle? Well, at the end of the day, why does he struggle? Because sometimes in life, you know you have to do something. And you also know that when you do it, you're going to have to stand alone. And no one likes to stand alone. We like safety in numbers. We like to be part of a group. Then so many times in life, there are things I know I have to do, I have to accomplish. And very often, people back off of those things. Because to stand alone, to be literally on one side and the rest of the world is on the other, is exceptionally difficult. And what's amazing is that Avraham Avinu was struggling with this as well. It's not just the end, it's the end of my empire. I built a whole personality around bringing people close, and now it's going to end. And when I do this, they're going to push. Avraham Avinu was beloved. How do we know he was beloved? He was respected. In Canaan, I mean. Not in Israel, but in Canaan. How do we know that? When we get to Parshas Chayisara, and he approaches Ephron Achiti, and he wants to go ahead and purchase a burial place. What does Ephron say to Avraham? Nesi Elokim ata besocheinu. You are a prince of God in our midst. That's an incredible statement. But Avraham Avinu knows that even though they're going to call me the prince, they're going to stay away from me. I'm going to be isolated. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu sometimes to do what you need to do in life. You have to be ready to stand alone. Sometimes you have to do things in life that are not popular. Sometimes you have to do things in life that are not going to earn you a lot of friends. You have to, they're not going to earn you a lot of praise. But you have to do it because it's what you need to do for your own self-actualization and to be the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately truly needs you to be. And that's pshat. So what happens over here? Avraham Avinu does the bris milah. And what happens after the bris milah? What happens after the bris milah? What happens? He's all alone. Except Vayera Elav Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu not with words but with action. Avraham, there's one thing I could always assure you and your descendants as well. That even when you have to stand alone, even when you have to stand separate and distinct from the rest of humanity, just know that you nor your descendants will ever really be alone. Vayera Elav Hashem. You might not hear me say anything. You might not hear me give you any orders. You might not even be able to always see me. But just know that I'm always holding your hand. And so when you need to stand alone, when you need to take those courageous stands in life, which we all have to at some point in time, at the end of the day, just know that you never do it by yourself. So what comes out, if you bring everything together, is from this little phrase, and I apologize, we didn't really get far into the parasha, but from this little phrase of Vayera Elav Hashem, we see so many profound ideas. We see, again, we saw the first two approaches, and I'm not going to go through again, of the Radak, and ultimately, the total, our first Rashbam and then Radak and Ramban. But the lessons we learn are quite profound. We learn from the Tolos Yitzchak, Arachayim, Rav Hirsch, that ultimately, closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu only comes through sacrifice. It's only after the Bris Milah, it's only literally after Avraham Avinu physically gives up himself, that according to Rav Hirsch, he's able to see God. According to the Tolos Yitzchak, Arachayim, he reaches this passionate level of connection where words aren't even necessary. It's just a relationship, a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if we want true connection, we have to be willing to sacrifice those things that often create a barrier between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We saw based on Rashi, the Medrash, the Chizkuni, the Gemara, that what do we learn from this episode? Chesed, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us the idea Chesed is not just a nice thing. Chesed is not just a good recreational activity. Chesed is not just a good thing when you have some free time. Chesed is a pillar of who and what we are. Baharai, what's the proof to that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo ba'atzmo does chesed. And if God does chesed, then how much more so we have to do chesed? But says the Rosh, remember, understand what you accomplish through chesed. What's the goal? The goal is not just to give somebody food, not to give somebody a pearl of wisdom. The goal is companionship. The goal is that everyone should know, even when they suffer and you feel like you're alone, just know you're not really alone. Just know that I'm here for you. Maybe I can say something to make you feel better. Maybe I can't. Maybe I can help you. Maybe I can't. But just know that you don't have to suffer alone. And even HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham Avinu and has nothing to say. But the fact that Avraham Avinu knows that God is there is in and of itself the best medicine. And finally, our last approach for tonight, Rashi, the Daskin, the Zayin Torah of Kook. So again, we're focusing more on Rav Kook. Avraham Avinu struggled because it's difficult to make decisions that are going to make you separate and distinct from everyone around you. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham an incredible idea that even though we have to take stands, and those stands are isolating, but when we do, although we may be alone and forsaken from all of those around us, just always remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there guiding us and holding our hand. Even when we have to make decisions that set us separate and apart, sometimes from our friends, sometimes from our family, and certainly from among the nations of the world, let us always remember, Vayera Elav Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there next to us, guiding us, and holding us. We'll stop over here.